Why am I living? This is the thought for today. Dr. Ariel Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Why am I living? Now, many of you will hear this message now, and you'll say, where have you been? What's been going on with your wonderful world? And what's been going on with our wonderful world is that we have been working with our webmaster, and our webmaster has been doing all sorts of beautiful things to polish and prepare the website and make it into the most magnificent website that you could ever imagine. And as of April 1st, today, he informs us the website is ready to fly again. So those of you who have been patient enough to wait this period of time and are with us once again, we welcome you. Those of you who are new, we welcome you. And those of you who are somewhere else, we love you and we bless you. So, my friends, our topic today is, why am I living? Over the breakfast table, we were talking about why am I living, and we were trying to come to some sort of a confusion as to why I'm living. And the concept came up, as I mentioned from my morning walk on the path, that here I am living in this century and having all of the blessings that the 21st century has to offer, and how blessed I am. Or is this the 22nd century, or the 23rd? Or is it the 30th century? Or is it the 100th century? Or is it the 1st century? Or is it the minus century, back in prehistoric times? Wouldn't that be an unfair thing for someone to be born in other times and other places and not have all of the blessings and benefits that we have today? That'd be pretty tough. We say, why am I living? Am I living to live in a highly technological universe? Am I living to live in a universe where one day soon we'll be able to have a little chip? And every child who's born will be given this little chip by the doctor, and he will just put it right inside of his skull, and the chip will be the entire education, the elementary, the high school, the college, the university, every speck of knowledge known to humankind at that point will be available on this chip. And the young person who may want to draw upon that information for any purpose, he may do so. And so, because education is just available on chip, you know. It's available to be given as facts. These are not opinions. We can have opinion classes too, and I think that's good too. But we can have opinion classes, and we know them as opinions. And we can have fact classes, and we know them as facts. One of the illustrations I have given recently is the almanac. The almanac calls Nigeria being operated by a corrupt government. And that's an opinion. Corrupt is as corrupt is defined. And how do you define corrupt? From the point of view of the people involved in running the government, they don't think they're being corrupt. And from the citizens who live in Nigeria, you know what those people are? They don't want to move. I said to some of them, well, now, wouldn't you like to live in England or in America or some other country where you have all these facilities? No. One of our students, Sybil Agabua, she is a super lady, brilliant as the stars in the sky. And I was visiting with her in England as she was visiting at her daughter's and her sister's homes. And I said, Sybil, wouldn't you like to live up here? Wouldn't you like to have all these? She said, I lived up here for a while. She said, but I love my country. She says, I love Nigeria. I am very happy there. And I said, huh. So you're happy living in Nigeria. And so many people would like to get out of there. Well, people like to get out of everywhere. Why are you living? And Sybil says, I'm living to be happy, to be myself and have fun. I say, hey, that's the motto of the University of Healing, be yourself and have fun. What does it mean to be yourself? It means to listen within yourself, not through a chip, not through some great informational source that might be available to you, as we have our computers and we have our radio and television and as we have our educational institutions. They're all available to us, extraneous. But when we listen to within, to that divine self within us, we don't get all that confusion. We don't have other people's ways of looking at things. We have our way. We have our understanding of what life means, of what it means to have fun. And when you would say to Sybil, well, wouldn't it be fun to go to the ice skating rink, and wouldn't it be fun to go to the parachute jumping group, you know, or this or that? She said, no. She's in a way, been there, done that. She says, what makes me happy is how I'm living. She says, I'm surrounded by people I dearly love. She says, I live in a community I respect. She says, I have a government that I am changing my opinion about every once in a while, but it's the government is a reflection of what I believe about myself. And I thought to myself, truly, it doesn't matter the time in history, in life, that we live. It only matters why we are living. Are we living to be ourselves, or are we living to be someone else? Was Edison himself? He sure was. He listened within and he got the idea for the light bulb, among other things. Was Michelangelo himself? What a crazy man. He took a piece of stone that the other stonemasons and the other artists, the other sculptors refused, and he made out of it one of the most famous statues in all time, the David. Now, fantastic, isn't it? And he didn't like to paint, and he painted the Sistine Chapel, one of the most glorious edifices that mankind can recall. Fabulous. Now, let's just go back a little ways. What if Michelangelo were living back in the caveman days? What would he be doing? He'd be painting the cave tops as the caveman had painted on there, remember? We see pictures of that. Beautiful. And they're having fun. Do you think the caveman who was painting in that dark hole, that cave, was having fun? You bet he was. Nobody was paying him to do that. And he probably figured out how to make a torch. And so he had maybe four boys or people working for him, and each holding a torch in a corner of the cave. And then he had light evenly over the ceiling to work with, without having smoke right up where he was cutting. He didn't need the light right underneath where he's painting. He needed the light to give him the overall picture. And you see, it could have been the Michelangelo of that day, or it could have been Michelangelo living on a different dimension of time and space. Do you think that perhaps on every dimension of time and space, we be ourselves and have fun? Do you think on every dimension of time and space, we are living what makes us happy? We are walking the path that fulfills our joy? Do you think that you could be happier than someone living in the cave days? As we often say about people who are poor, their families don't know they're poor. The children don't know they're poor. They don't have a television set to compare with. Maybe not even a radio. Maybe not shoes. Many countries, they don't have clothes or shoes or food, but they survive. And are the children happy? Do the children go out and play games? Do they gather in the street and kick the can, or do they take a stick and knock a pebble around? Or do they create games that we don't even understand, because we have never had to live without games that were given to us for the purpose? Most of our games come with instructions, you know, how to play it. Well, they don't have that. And when we play games with Ingeborg, oftentimes Ingeborg is playing rummy with us or something, and then while we're playing the game, Ingeborg says, no, these are the rules. and she changes the rules for us. And so we say, okay. So then we play by her rules. And then she changed them again, and she changed them again. And we don't say, Ingeborg, that's terrible. We just say, hey, Ingeborg, we like playing with you. So therefore, whatever rules you want, we'll have those rules. And that's okay. We don't mind. But you see, we're doing this for fun. We're not in this to say, these are the rules of the game and you have to play them. You know, that's silly, isn't it? But that's what we do. That's what we do when we play cops and robbers and we play, driving on a speed race down the highway, hoping the cops won't see us or something, you know, because we're violating rules. And, that's great. If you don't like rules, create yourself in a society that has fewer rules. But, of course, probably there's no cars either. No cars to race down the road, so they don't have a speed limit. Yes. The time and space that we live in. But it's not the rules. It's not what the world presents to us as their idea of what it is to be yourself and have fun. It's what your heart itself tells you what to be and have fun. It's what your heart says to you is your reality. And what is your reality? What is being yourself and having fun? To be yourself doesn't mean you go out and violate everybody else's rules or your own. To be yourself means you joyously do things. You joyously do things. You go to the beach and you find starfish. And you look at them and you pick them up and you think, well, what am I going to do when they take them home? They'll just stink until they dry out. And then what am I going to do with them? I'd rather leave them in the ocean and watch them each time I come back. Because when I come back, then maybe I'll put a little tag on it and see if that same one's still around here, you know. And, well, that'd be fun. That'd be interesting, you know. But I take them home, and I don't really have a place for them. I don't have an aquarium at home for starfish. You see, normally within us is the, not humanitarian way of doing things, but normally within us is the loving, beneficial way of doing things. It's the way that sort of fits in with all of life. And having fun? Having fun has nothing to do with party time. Having fun is liking yourself. When you like yourself, you are having fun. And you don't even have to have anybody appreciate you having fun. I enjoy my new dog, Rex. He's, 17, 18 weeks old now. He's getting to be a teenager, you know. And I will play with Rex, and then I'll leave him alone, and I'll go about my activities. And I will look up occasionally, and I will see him playing. He will take his toys, you know, throw it up in the air, and watch it, then grab it, and catch it. You know, shake it, as though he's shaking the stuffing out of it. Which he probably is. And then he'll go out in our garden and he'll dig around the trees and mess up my irrigation system. Now, that's okay. He can do that all he wants until I go to him and say no, which I must do. But I got to catch him doing it to say no. Usually he's on his way back with dirty paws coming into the living room, you know. So, but I'll say no. And when I say no, what's going to happen? It'll be no. And he'll be happy, and I'll be happy. Why will he be happy? He is happy following my orders because he loves me and he wants to do everything I want him to do. That's what a dog is designed for. A dog is designed to have a master and to have someone who his presence and his life delights. The very presence and life of Rex, my golden retriever, just delights me thoroughly. Button delighted me. Love delighted me. The LeBaron and LeDuc delighted me. And Gus and on back through the lineage of dogs that have passed through my life. All delighted me thoroughly, or else I wouldn't have them. And just because I turn them over to Ellen to raise and a few other people, that doesn't mean I don't delight in them. That only means that, I'm thinking of a new delight. You know, a new happiness, someone new that I can make feel that they're the most wonderful things in the world. And Rex just wants to do everything he can to make me happy. And this makes me happy that he wants to make me happy. But I can be happy without him wanting to make me happy too. Because I know that I have to train him. I train him to behave. I train him to do the right things. I train my mind too, to think on things that make me happy. I don't train my mind to think on things that make me unhappy, you know. What do we call that type of person?
Pessimist.
Yes, we call it a pessimist, but we call it also someone who's complaining all the time.
Annoyed.
Paranoid.
Unhappy.
Paranoid.
Paranoid, unhappy. What's another word for...
Negative.
Yeah. They're pain in the neck, too. But what's another word for somebody who is always... finding the unhappiness in life.
Obnoxious.
See, you see, you're giving all these great terms, but you haven't quite come up with the one. A crybaby. Self.
Self-pity.
Now, you see, when a person has self-pity, they are not the master of themselves. And when anybody has self-pity, whether it's an animal or a person. Animals only get self-pity when they see how people do it, you know. But self-pity is what destroys us from being happy. Because Pollyanna could not have self-pity. But when the moment she did have a little self-pity, because she felt that her whole life had gone to shreds, then... everyone loved her because they knew who her reality was. She had already demonstrated that. But her self-pity they didn't love. They felt very sorry for her. They felt very sad for her that she had hurt herself. And you notice I said she hurt herself. Interesting, isn't it? The fall from the tree is what hurt her, but she hurt herself. But she didn't have to climb that tree. She didn't have to play that game. She didn't have to reach for her doll that was sliding down the roof. You know, she didn't have to do those things, but she hurt herself. And we always do it to ourselves. So, our topic today, why am I living? I am living to be myself and have fun. And when you are living to be yourself and have fun, then life is worth living. So, think of these words. Let them be your motto if you wish. And as you do, you will find that it doesn't matter what any other person in the world does. It doesn't matter whether people are struggling or whether they're being very successful. It only matters that you like yourself. And as you like yourself, you look at everyone with a smile. And they'll say, gee, it's so nice of you to come in here with that lovely smile. You just made my day. You didn't do a thing. You didn't give him any money. You didn't give him a kiss or a hug. You didn't give him any thing to eat or any. You gave him your attitude of liking yourself and liking everyone in your world. And they were uplifted. And you were uplifted. And if I be uplifted, all the world is uplifted unto me. So enjoy being yourself and having fun. This is what the master taught us to do. This is what every philosopher teaches us to do, and every psychologist and psychiatrist, every medical doctor, every teacher teach us to do. Some a little more reserved than others, but they all teach us to be yourself and have fun. Have a lovely day, and know that I am with you at all times because I love you, I love you, I love you.